Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VMB, the voice of Manhattan business, brought to you by the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz, one of the Chamber's ambassadors. It's now my pleasure to introduce Evan Horowitz from Evan Horowitz Advising. We will be discussing growing a business faster and smarter. Please remember the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bruce. Pleasure to be here.
It's our pleasure. Tell us about yourself and your company.
Sure. I'm a business advisor, and what that means is I work with successful small businesses and I help them grow faster. My clients are people who have a dream that's bigger than their business experience, and I bring my experience. I have a Harvard MBA and spent 10 years running businesses as big as $100 million global businesses, and I use that background to help small business owners become smarter CEOs so they can grow their companies faster than ever before.
Sounds like a plan. Now, your tagline emphasizes that you're a Harvard MBA, as you just mentioned. Some time ago, I was interviewed. I forget what the outlet was, but they wanted to know my opinion because, as you know, and some of our listeners know, I'm an executive recruiter. They wanted to know my opinion on whether an Ivy League degree is worth the money. And my answer was that it helps candidates get their first job, but once they're looking for their second job, that's dependent on actual work experience and not academic credentials. What's your take?
Yeah, it's a question that I've been asked before as well. I've been blessed my whole career to have some great degrees on my resume, having gone to Stanford undergrad and then later Harvard for grad school. Are those degrees necessary for an amazing career? Definitely not. There's tons of amazing schools out there. Has it helped throughout my career? Yeah, definitely it has. Just to share one example, I started out my career in Silicon Valley, where I worked my way up to managing a $100 million microchip business. And then I wanted to do something very different, so I applied for a job at Macy's corporate headquarters. Now, Macy's doesn't typically hire people with technology backgrounds to manage the clothing business, but as the VP that hired me explained, given that I went to Harvard, she trusted that I learned a new role quickly. And today, as a business advisor, I continue to benefit from the Harvard brand. My clients are talented business people who want access to the premium business skills that I have, and so they can apply those to their business and be more successful.
Okay, then. Now, what would you say is the number one error business owners make?
I'd say that the number one mistake is that business owners are still acting as experts and not as CEOs. And let me explain what I mean by that. Most people started their business because they're awesome at what they do. They started the business around it. Maybe they're a creative person, a technical expert. They have a great product. But now they have to be able to step out of that expert role and put on a CEO hat focused on growth.
That's a good segue to my next question, but I was planning on asking you, but you raise an interesting issue. Is what you just said applicable to the same degree if the person is a one-man operation or a one-woman operation or if they have staff?
Yes, absolutely. Even when somebody has staff, what I find is they're still acting as an expert because they're still the person on their team with the most expertise in whatever their business is about. And until they can learn to step out of that expert role, they're never going to be able to grow that much.
I always have to apologize to the authors who I read because I have a terrible memory for names and I never remember who said what. But, oh, I remember who it was. It was the... I believe it was the founder of Patagonia. But in any case, if I'm correct, she's the one who said the key to successful hiring is hiring people who are smarter than you are. Would you concur with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think I see a lot of business owners scared to do that because it can be intimidating, understandably, but the most successful teams have people who are smarter in each of their areas of expertise.
Now, let's get back to your previous answer. You focused on the fact that you have to act like a CEO, which, as I said, is a good segue to my next question. you had to give someone three pieces of advice for being successful in business, what would they be?
Yeah, so it's really all about getting out of the extra mentality and learning to put on the CEO hat. So here's three ways that you can really make that transition. Number one is I see businesses not bringing in as much business as they could because they tend to be talking like experts rather than talking like their customers. We all have a tendency to kind of use some technobabble because we're so knowledgeable about what it is that we do. But in order to sell effectively, you need to talk like your customer. You need to talk like a layperson. Second piece of advice I'd give is really all about how to grow. Most people are feeling buried and they're too much work, and to a large extent, that's because they're an expert, because they want to do everything. In fact, they are the person who is most qualified in a lot of cases to do a lot of the work, but what they really need to do in order to grow is learn to delegate effectively. If they don't, they're really capping their growth potential. And the most successful business owners walk around looking for ways to move more and more of their responsibility onto their team so that they can focus on growth. The third piece of advice that I have for people is really about how to make your plans for the future happen quicker. Most people have a dream for the future that's in their head, but they don't know how and when they can afford to make that happen. As an expert, you can afford to be a dreamer, but as a CEO, you really need to be a planner. You need to learn to manage your finances proactively so that you can grow faster and smarter.
Now, I went to your website, which is the obvious starting point for whenever I have a guest on, and I begin with the research, I go to their website. And what I found most interesting about your website was the section called Five Tips for a Better Job Posting. Now, the downside of this is that I happen to agree with everything you said, so this is going to be rather boring. But I want you, obviously I'm prejudiced being a recruiter, but I'd like you to tell us about your five tips because they're just spot on.
Sure. And I'm glad to have your endorsement on that. You know, the number one thing that I recommend for people is that they don't even think about posting a job description per se. A job description is boring. And if they want to get the best talent into their organization, they really need to sell the job. A job description is really a marketing piece above all. And it's about exciting, talented candidates about what's so great about this role. Why would they want to do it? What areas of growth are there? How are they going to make a difference and an impact in the organization? How are they going to make a difference outside of the organization? If you sell the job, you're going to find that more and more talented and qualified people will be actually excited to apply and then come work for you. And another tip that I see, it gets back to the expert and CEO thing, a lot of job descriptions tend to be pretty jargony. They have a lot of inside language talking about specific things to the company and the operations, and you really want to get out of that. You want to talk to someone who's not in the company so that they can really get a good sense of what the job is all about and see whether it's a fit for them.
Now, Evan, on your site you list five areas of expertise. I want to divide them into three sections. The first section includes what you have as growing revenue faster and working smarter, not harder. Everyone wants to do that, but how can they?
I think too many business owners operate as an island. Not only is that lonely, but they really limit their ability to learn new skills that they can bring to their business so that they can work smarter and not harder. What I recommend is that people get help from people who are better than they are at specific areas. You can ask your friends who are good at marketing or who are good at budgeting or whatever it is for advice, so that you're not just operating by yourself, but you're really pulling in lots of different brains and talents to achieve your growth in the smartest possible way.
And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that listeners can go to the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce website, manhattancc.org. The business directory is there, and you can find many, many professionals. Also, previous guest, Rohit Sood, from inajiffy.com has a great website and a great service where professionals can find each other. You can put in a request for a proposal, and you can get some pretty good people. That's how I found a publicist and an insurance agent. But I digress. Now, let's get back to your website. After discussing growing revenue faster and working smarter, not harder, the next thing you talk about is expanding your team. When does a business owner know when it's time to expand, and what does he or she need to do before starting the hiring process?
Yeah, great question. Well, typically what I find is if you're thinking you need an extra pair of hands, it's time to hire them. You might not feel like you can quite afford them, and there's always a chicken and egg with that. You know, you can't afford to hire someone because you don't have the sales to support it, but you can't take on more business because your team is too small to handle it. The only way to break out of this is to just hire the person and then use your extra time to quickly bring in the additional sales.
Should you have a minimum amount of capital on hand, for example, 6 months' salary for the person?
Well, there's definitely no hard and fast rule. The best thing that you should do is really build a financial plan so that you can see how much you're going to need on an ongoing basis and how much revenue you're expecting to generate so that you can know confidently whether you can afford that person.
Great. Now, next comes invest confidently and gain peace of mind. Explain those.
Yeah, well, peace of mind is all about having a financial plan. So just like we were talking about with hiring, the financial plan answers so many questions for you. I can't tell you how powerful my clients feel when they have a financial plan completed. All of a sudden, you have a clear sense of how much you'll make this month and how much you'll make next month, whether and when you can afford to hire someone, whether you need external financing. A financial plan answers so many questions, and you get so much clarity and peace of mind.
Now, the last segment is the one that I guess I care the most about, because I happen to teach a course on professional business development, and the focus is on writing a killer business plan, which is how you word it on your website. Now, I agree that you need a business plan to begin with, but I don't know of anyone who uses one after their business is up and running, except when they're looking for financing. Talk to us about the importance and practical use of a business plan.
Yeah, I totally agree with your take on it. I think a business plan is important when you're starting out, but for most of my clients who have already been in business for years, a business plan is really an unnecessary exercise that's not a good use of time. So when I start working with a business that has been around for a while, has been successful, it's really not about writing a business plan and having a lot of pages together. It's more about quickly identifying what I call what's the short leg of the stool. What's the area of the business that if they focus a little bit of attention there, it would really shore up the whole operation. And we just start running. So business planning is a great exercise when I'm starting out. But after that, I think it's more important to really just do some spot work.
This is the part of the show that I dislike, because when things go as well as this interview, I'm always sorry that it's over with. This has been great. You've given us in about 20 minutes a wealth of information, and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Before I let you go, what's the best way for listeners to get in touch?
Yeah, I encourage anybody who's interested in learning about me and the work that I do to accelerate business growth to check out my website. It's www.ehadvising.com. That's ehadvising, one word, .com. And if they'd like to send me an email, they can do that at Evan, E-V-A-N, at ehadvising.com.
Evan, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. I truly appreciate it and hope you'll come back.
Thank you, Bruce. It's been my pleasure.
I'm Bruce Hurwitz, President and CEO of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing. You can find me on the web at www.hsstaffing.com. Thanks again to Evan. Have a prosperous and safe week.